us for those of you who might be joining us late. Now, Stan Deo is with us, and he's with us each and every Tuesday in hour number three. Quick headline, not sure how many people saw this. Julian Assange made a comment today talking about artificial intelligence, and he went on to say that humanity is threatened by this AI, and of course my computer's freezing up here, is threatened by artificial intelligence, and it, I don't have the exact quote, but with social media, how it is endangering humanity. We talk about on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, all these bots. We've seen what Hillary Clinton or Obama had 13 or 15 million fake followers. We see the bots on YouTube and other.
I think 19.5. Nothing suspicious about that number. 19.5 million.
And they're weaponizing, here we go, humanity threatened by AI controlled social media. Folks, it's on Drudge Report. AI controlled propaganda.
This popped
is what
in,
he says.
By the way.
And a lot of people, another reason I brought this up is because a lot of people have been questioning if Julian Assange is actually alive. You know, not a lot of people have seen him. There was rumors that he was, you know, months and months and months ago that he fell off the radar, that somebody was hacked into his account and was posting under him. But he's made some statements about AI, and I'll post this article to HagmanReport.com. But now we have Stan Deo. StanDeo.com is the website. When you're on his website, go to the show images page. It's on the right-hand side of the microphone right there on StanDeo.com. And you can follow along each and every week with what Stan talks about as he puts together the research and images right there for all of us under the show images tab. Stan, welcome back.
Good to be back. We've made it through another week. I hear that the heat wave we had yesterday and the day before is now over on your side of the country.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little warm, a little toasty, but here in our studios, it's a cool 72 degrees. But outdoors, it's humid, and the weather has been odd this year. I have to say, Al Gore must have been right. Global warming.
He was right, except he picked the wrong cause, the majority cause. It's nothing we can fix. It's off the planet. It's the sun itself. But these things are cyclic, and they've happened before. And when we weren't even, you know, the numbers of people and animals we are on the planet, we weren't even producing the amount of greenhouse gases we are. Anyway.
Well, Stan, before we get too far into the program, I've been inundated with emails wanting to know how you are feeling, because people, our audiences, they're very concerned about your health, and as well as Holly as well. So if you don't mind, without getting too personal, or as personal as you wish, how you feeling, brother?
Oh, well, tell the truth, I hurt most days now, and you know, around the middle portion of my back, and with this mystery thing under my rib cage, and you know, it's difficult just getting out of bed. So I take a nice hot shower and a pain pill a bit later, and make it through the day. Holly is, you know, she's doing a lot of the stuff out in the yard I should be doing with the mowing and things, and she's a trooper, but, you know, she's got to do that plus the stuff she does on the website, so, it grieves me, but that's the way it is.
Thank God that we married up, you and I, Stan, you know.
That's true.
You know, and my wife took ill, and I knew that she did a lot, but you really don't know until it's not getting done, you know, and then you've got to take what she's doing as well. And I'm thinking, I couldn't survive, I don't think, without my wife. So we both married
ditto,
up.
Oh, ditto.
Yep. But we love you, brother.
But anyway.
We love her as well. So start us out wherever you want to start.
Well, let's see, what do we got here? Well, we talked about the weather. Let's look at image 39. Summers are getting hotter. If you click on the text there underneath it, image 39, it'll take you over to Climate Central News Gallery, and you'll see they've got a little interactive map there, and it lets you select. select your city, and then say show below, and it'll show you for the last 47 years how the temperature has changed in your town, in your city. What city are you guys in?
We are in Erie, Pennsylvania, in Erie County. We're right in the most northwest corner of the map of Pennsylvania.
Okay, I'm just clicking on Erie and putting it on this website. Wow. In that 47-year period, your average temperature, your mean temperature, has gone up over 4 degrees, 4.1 degrees, which is exceptional. You know, in centigrade, 2 degrees centigrade, which is, you know, probably a little bit more than that, I guess, but no, less than that. It'd be less than that. But 2 degrees centigrade will cause an ice age. When you're just having normal, you know, temperatures and living, all of a sudden you drop, you know, your mean temperature for the whole planet by, or raise it by 2 degrees, or drop it by 2 degrees, you'd have an ice age or a fire age, you know, an ice age where everything's warm and grows crops and that kind of stuff. So go to that link there, and you can see the listeners, whatever state you're in. There are major cities in each of these states that you can click and see what the change in temperature has been. But I found an interesting thing. There's not a listing for California at all. No cities in California is in the rating. I don't know if we're missing any other states, but that's, you know, the one that I felt was odd. I was going to check California and see how they were doing, but no. Anyway, it's telling us, you know, in hard numbers, that this global warming stuff that, you know, was popular in the press, being cow gases and greenhouse gases, that really started at least 1970 and probably before that on the whole planet. So it's not just something that just recently come to a head because of our carbon dioxide levels and whatever. It started long before that. Anyway, look at that. And then we'll go over to image 37. I was working on this today. It's significant earthquakes over 4.5 globally. I took the study from 1936 to 2016 because obviously we haven't finished 2017 yet, so I couldn't put a global, you know, earthquake number until I've got the whole year. But you'll see in this graph there, I've got a red line, which is a trend line, showing the rise from about 15 quakes per year average at the low end of the trend up to about 44. But that's just the mean. There's a black line, like a C wave going through there, called a polynomial trend line, and that follows more closely the actual plots of the numbers of earthquakes per year. And you can see quite easily that that slanted up to the right, and that there was a high period between 2002 and about 2008. Then it started to drop off. So the question we're asking is it going to now turn around at the bottom of the low level we had in 2016 and rise up to be above that red line, or, you know, and still extend that curve up that way, that black curve? Earthquakes in diverse places, well, I haven't added that to this graph yet, but diverse places means seeing more earthquakes in places that you haven't seen them before. And certainly, I noticed by going through the data that we had areas of the planet that were fairly quiet, but then in the last decade they've started to have earthquakes, and some of them are associated with volcanic activity. Now, Kim, speaking on that, Kim, that's one of your listeners, has sent me a number of alerts on earthquakes increases, and one of them is in the Iceland area, one of the alerts, and it shows the number of quakes there. And then another one is in Tenerife, which is near the Canary, part of the Canary Islands. And she showed me one of the people on the blog spot there was commenting about how the energy in the first part of this year of quake release there in Tenerife was 62% higher than the energy released all of last year in that area from earthquakes. So it's good in one respect that the energy is being released in smaller amounts, you know, earthquakes that aren't really super bad, because that relieves the pressure in that area. You wouldn't want a Richter 8 or 9 in the Canaries anywhere to shake the Cumbre Vieja and make that
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just noticed the uptick subsequent to 2001. It almost seems like a lot of things at the turn of the century really took a lot of things changed.
Yeah. I noticed that too. And you'll see there's a site that I link to an image 38 if you click on the text there. And that's something you can go and explore later. We don't have to, you know, go through it all now, but it's a Christian site that's been analyzing earthquakes as part of the increase in earthquakes that was mentioned in Matthew as a sign of the time. And, you know, they've got the graph I put up there as part of my icon. You can see it over on their page here. I think it's about the second graph down. And they measured from 5, Richter 5 up, and I measured from 4.5 up, so our curves are slightly different, little peaks and stuff, but mainly we agree on this. I saw this website first, started doing some checking after that and building databases. And you will see that the curve, the trend line for Richter 6 to 6.9 has about the same slope up to the right, same increase as the 5 to 5.9. So we're saying that between Richter 5 and almost Richter 7, that's almost two full, you know, Richter count, that the increase follows the same curve. And with the 6 to 6.9 quakes, they don't just start to be exciting in 2002, 2001, like we were seeing on my graph. These things start, you know, back at 4 in 1935, and the mean goes up to 16 or so by 2015, which it shows a constant increase in those, not a kind of semi, not busy flat line up till 2001 and suddenly taking off like we saw in the the average ones. Excuse me. The Richter 5 to 6 show uninteresting developments between 1935 and 1960. Then they start to take that climb up. And so that acceleration of the Richter 5 to 5.9, that it started to increase in 1975. Well, actually, maybe 1960, 65 in that region, I guess. But you can see that on that page if you go there. There's a lot of good information there. And I think it's worth spending some time there. And he's got some other interesting things on his side as well.
That's very interesting with the earthquakes that just as you pointed out, the 5 to 5.9 and 6 to 6.9, the increase is almost identical as you're moving, from maybe 2008, 2010? And it does show that trend, you know, of increasing. Stan, how long have they been keeping track? How long have they been able to measure the intensity of earthquakes with the Richter scale?
Well, the Richter scale was kind of the recent developments in the last century, but it's just a scale they set up. But they've been recording earthquakes and the results of them through history. And what USGS and the European equivalent of it have done is they've taken known effects today of a Richter 6 in an area with certain types of geology and with houses and roads and things, and how far away from the epicenter the damage occurred. And they've applied that to their Richter energy scale and been able to back analyze earthquakes before we even had computers and stuff. So they've been able to look at things as far back as, earthquakes in the BC period. So the accuracy, I'm sure, drops off over time, but the really accurate stuff that we've been getting, I'd say that in the beginning of the 1900s that we started to really get some high-resolution data and were able to correlate it to what we have today in the USGS.
Okay. The reason I ask is because, say, we work backward, you know, 1835 to 1935. I was just wondering what that might look like, because I know that, from what it appears from these charts, you know, you see spikes of activity and, you know, then decreases, and we're in a decrease now, but that...
Well, decrease, that's only because, it's a decrease, but if you'll notice, it turned up on the last leg. It started to turn up, and we won't know the end of this year if we have a lot more earthquakes to raise that figure. But if it goes true to form in that trend, it should go up toward the red line somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that decrease we're in right now is still almost at the top levels of some of the increases, you know, in the last 100 years. So,
yeah. It's, yeah. Another thing that I forgot to mention about how long we've been recording these things, the USGS didn't really start, I don't think, in 1900 with seismometers all over the planet. You know, things were in electronic technology and transmission of information were so primitive at that point compared to now that the data you get before, say, 1935 is not going to be as accurate worldwide. You know, certainly where people are inhabiting an area and they can say, oh, we had an earthquake that made the second and third floors fall off, but everything else stayed intact and it swayed or it didn't sway. That would allow you to, you know, say, yeah, we've had an earthquake in that area, and they could report it to the scientific bodies collecting information. But until we got organized on this planet and started putting out seismometers, we had no global information network. I talked to USGS about this, and they said that their detectors that they have spread across the United States and in certain areas offshore as well can really pick up any Richter 5 earthquake on the planet. Anything underneath that is too far away for their seismometers to basically accurately interpret it. So there have to be other feeds that are coming into them from Europe and Russia and China and stuff to correlate the data. So it's the number of seismometers around the planet and their placing that helps get the data about how many quakes worldwide, you know, globally, have been occurring in a year. So I'd say 1935 to 2017 maps, or 2016 at the moment, are probably the most reliable because of that. And that's why I picked a 4.5 limit on mine instead of 5 like they did on the graph and 38, you know, cell 38. But even doing that, you can see that my two peaks, you know, around the, what is that, I forget that, about 2002 to 2008, my peaks are almost the same height, but over on the graph on 38, where they took a higher earthquake value, 5.0 plus, they have a spike going up there. So by taking 4.5s, I increased the latter part of those, of that graph, and you know, possibly decreased the first horn in there. Anyway, it's just data and how you mash data. You know, as I say, I took 4.5 and up because I wanted to try to get data from all over the planet in that range, knowing full well that we probably wouldn't be as accurate in mine as the one on the image 38. But I wanted to play with it, so that's what we got.
Okay. Well, yeah, very.
What time is it? What time is that? Come in. I meant to tell you that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. For the guys living over on the East Coast, NASA launched a missile 3 or 4 minutes after 9. So what's that? Yeah, it may have gone by now, but if you look up, if people on the East Coast, especially the north part of the coast, should be able to see glowing clouds and reds and blues and kind of blue-greens up in the sky as this missile went up to release canisters of gas, of barium and copper sulfate. Let's see, what else do we have in there? Strontium and cupric oxide, which turns the gas kind of red up in that atmosphere. What they wanted to do was to put three color streamers up into the jet stream below and in it and above it to do new high accuracy tracing on the wind in the jet stream, because it's been rather erratic and it's of course responsible for the heat wave that we're getting and that you're getting a couple days later. So anyway, you could have seen that if I'd have just thought and not talked immediately. I should have just said, look up. I don't know if you can see it inland as far as you guys are, but certainly on the coast over there you could.
Okay. Well, instead of a camera on a colonoscopy, we just got a barium enema on the East Coast by compliments of NASA and the military, apparently, right?
Yeah. Let me just The link I've got you down there takes you over to Watch Live here, down about the third paragraph. Let me see if they've got any live data coming through. Looks like they canceled it at 8:58 because of weather. Too many clouds, they couldn't see the streamers. Yeah, they're on a red hold at the moment. They may still do it. If I hear about it, I'll tell you over the air so that people can look. But anyway, it takes a while for clouds to move out of the way, so this might not be something we see until an hour or two later. Or if they might even cancel the launch. They did this a few weeks back and had to cancel for the same reason.
So this cloud mission, the purpose is to tell me again what the purpose is?
Well, they wanted to get an accurate look at the northern hemisphere portion of the jet stream, the northern jet stream versus the southern one. For some reason, they are doing the test over the eastern coast, northeastern coast of the United States, and they want to see which way the currents in the jet stream are going, because you've got like lower or closer edge of the jet stream, one velocity, and then another one in the center, and then up above that on the upper edge, another one. But they don't always go the same direction. They curl. So they're testing this method of analyzing the velocity and the direction of the polar winds, the jet stream.
Okay.
But they're going to compare that with probably more rockets that they will send up in the future, all at the same time, to get the instantaneous read on the vectors, in essence, of the jet stream. This is kind of important because the jet stream is going kind of crazy and breaking up and then reuniting. It does that from time to time, but doing it rather rapidly now may be connected with magnetic field reversal, or weakening. And may also be due to North Pole wandering, which it's certainly doing. There are just a number of things that could be causing it. So at least they're sharing that data with us. They're using a little rocket that goes up for 10 minutes into the upper atmosphere and then doesn't go into orbit and comes back down. And I think they can retrieve those things. It's called a Terrier Improved Malamute Sounding Rocket. Sounding rockets are a cheap way to get up, get your instrument package up, get your readings, and then 10 minutes later, parachute back down. So, anyway, here's some good news. I don't know why it's happening, but over here we were having lunch today out on the deck under the umbrella from the sun, and we were noticing, look, there's not a chemtrail in sight in Colorado where we are. We look north and south 100 miles, and no chemtrails, and it's been that way for 2 days. And it's so regular here that when they stop, it takes a second for it to sink in. It's a clear blue Rocky Mountain sky. Why? What's up? And the funny part, we saw this, and back inside, the power all of a sudden quit. It quit on the house, quit on the computers, the backup, even my backup thing failed. And I was really thought, well, gee, No chemtrails. Maybe we're having an EMP attack. We don't know about it. But the mystery was solved within about 20 minutes. Two power company trucks pulled up out in the back between all the houses and started ripping boxes open and, playing cards or whatever they do while they waste time. And then finally we got the power back on, but it wasn't an EMP. Thank goodness.
Interesting. Interesting how... But even your backups went out, you said.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to get a new one. I've only had this one for 2 or 3 years. And, the system backup, it normally is supposed to go beep, beep. That
right.
means you got 20 minutes, and then beep, 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 beep. That's about 10 minutes. And when you get the final warning that you got about 2 minutes to shut down, beep, 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 like that. This went beep,
right.
beep, down.
That sounds like it's reaching its life. I mean, because I know here at the studio we've got redundant systems, to three levels, multiple levels of redundancy here for power and for other things as well. But
yeah.
Wow. All right.
You know, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, Stan, we got about a minute before the break. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
Okay. Yeah, well, as you can see, this this week, my efforts at research have been into earthquakes, and still trying to find data files that I can use to give us a semi-accurate forecast of quakes that are coming in an exact location. It, you know, the phases of the moon and stuff like that are fine, and it gives you a general idea that look for a big quake maybe, you know, the next day or two as the phase of the moon changes. And, you know, there are other things looking for runaway dogs and things. But when you just give a general prediction and say, yeah, look, tomorrow or when the moon is full or it's when it's not full, it's empty, that earthquakes are going to happen and we're going to see some fives or sixes somewhere. Well, you know, that means everybody in the world, wherever they are, got to think, well, do I need to be on alert for a big earthquake? So I'm trying to figure out ways to get back to what I was doing in 2006 with the Navy, and that was to find within like 100 square miles of where that thing is going to hit and possibly how strong it's going to be. So Stan, I'm not finding anything of yet. I've tried in Europe, I've tried in Mexico, and nothing so far.
Stan, we're right up against the break. Folks, we'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. There
shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changepersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Additional Hagman and Hagman Report. Ask you kindly to please subscribe to our YouTube channel. we do appreciate that. And that, of course, gives you quick access to our content, but it also elevates our visibility, the search results. It does wonders for the numbers. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're listening to this, regardless of the venue. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, our social networking platforms. I personally have, I'm personally on Twitter, at HagmanPI. That's @HagmanPI. Hagman Report is also on Twitter. Facebook the same. I've got my personal Facebook, Douglas Hagman, as well as the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Need to get the word out. We need to stick together in these times of uncertainty. Speaking about, getting the word out, if you want a great series of novels to give to your neighbor, perhaps, or your somebody that you go to church with, T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels, he's written a great trilogy. The first book is Precipice, book two is Pentecost, and book three is Penance, and he's written this great trilogy. He's a phenomenal writer and a fascinating topic of... D.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. This would make a great Father's Day gift as well. Kirkus and Blue Ink reviews give him fantastic reviews. He's a really talented writer. Readers of End Time Fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable, fast-paced. Blue Ink reviews calls this series thought-provoking and absolutely riveting. Folks, visit thisgenerationseries.com or just go to Amazon and order the trilogy there. One book, all three books, either way.
Standeo is our guest, and folks, go to standeo.com, bookmark his site, and when he comes on with us, you check out the show images page there on the right hand underneath the YouTube icon to the right of the microphone. And for those watching on YouTube, Eric has pulled up the page and showed you right where to go.
Housekeeping, Eric is back, and that's evident by, of course, our video. Also, catch John Robertson. We're going to be posting the link to Kate Daly's show. Fantastic interview today. Yesterday, I was with Kevin Shipp for an hour. And, of course, he's the CIA case officer, counterterrorism expert, the intelligence hour with Kevin Shipp. And great stuff. So go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. I wanted to just make sure I got that in there.
Yeah. Stan, on your show images page under image 42, Megyn Kelly interviews Alex Jones. Megyn Kelly, it was made the news today. She was a former Fox News anchor who left Fox and is now on NBC. And there was a story about her ratings today about how her second episode that aired drew only 3.6 million viewers, and a rebroadcast of CBS's 60 Minutes doubled the viewership. Again, a rebroadcast of 60 Minutes doubled the viewership of NBC's Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly. But she has interviewed Alex Jones, and Stan, I see you got the that article up on your the show images.
Yeah, it's worth reading. I'm not going to say that, you know, there's not fire where there's smoke as far as her getting after Alex Jones, because you know him, I know him, I've been on his show a number of times, and sometimes, you know, I guess we all do it in the heat of the moment, we get excited and we'll shoot from the hip, you know, about a topic that we've seen in the press or we're researching. And Megyn Kelly got after him for, I think, saying, you know, that a particular massacre didn't occur, that the parents, you know, of the kids at Sandy Hook. You know, had faked their kid's death and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, as I say, I don't mean to get after Alex. I'm more after Megyn Kelly for what she's doing here. Instead of picking on some of the good stuff he's done, she hit him on this weak point and used this to make an indirect slur at President Trump, because she says, you know, if President Trump follows Alex Jones, which she assumes, I guess we all know that he does, I don't know, then what does that say about the president who, you know, listens or watches to Alex Jones, you know, extreme conspiracy theories and, you know, right-wing junk? Now, you know, putting myself in President Trump's position as best I can, the manager, you're going to make the final decision in an issue, but you will collect information from the Alex Jones. You'll even read or watch some of the fake news to get a broad sense of what's happening across the country and the world on the topic that you're researching. So if you listen to, you know, fake news, which he's done, he comments on it on his text messages. If you're listening to that, it's because you're seeing what they've got to say to put it into the melting pot in your brain before you form a decision and a direction based on everything that's happening that you can find out about. So I think Megyn Kelly is just, you know, she gave President Trump a nice interview before the election, and then I think she's doing this on purpose just to slam at him. I find that sad, but anyway.
Yeah, and I watched, there was about, I think, a minute 47 second preview of that interview that I got a chance to take a look at. And she does, Jones was making the point that, you know, he looks at stories from a number of different angles and, you know, different viewpoints, and that yeah. He's throwing all this out there. And, you know, she called it, I think, disgusting, the angle that, you know, the Sandy Hook might have been not what it was reported to be. And she, there's actually, I'm reading an article from the LA Times that's calling for people, companies, or people are calling for the advertisers to sever ties with the company because she is interviewing Alex Jones. And the article says, in the days leading up to Megyn Kelly's interview with Jones, activists are demanding advertisers dump the NBC broadcast, claiming the show is giving a platform to the pro-Trump host of InfoWars. And the article goes on to talk about the tough situation that advertisers are in, and how this is becoming a regular occurrence every time anything happens or there's a controversy surrounding something in the public eye, that there's a huge backlash. And one of the latest ones we've seen is the play in Central Park depicting the Shakespeare play depicting the assassination of Donald Trump through a recreation of Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
And we saw a number of advertisers pull out of the public theater, Delta Airlines and Bank of America being two of the...
You know, and Stan, you've got the depiction of the assassination, as Joe, you mentioned, in the Trump-like Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
The grotesque, classless Kathy Griffin holding up a severed head. You know, all of this. This is not just your normal publicity. This has gone to the point of advocating the killing of a president, in my view, anyway.
It has. Yeah. I agree. It's just open warfare against the president. At what point do we say that is threatening the life of the president and have the Secret Service go in and shut them down? Because if they don't do it, they're encouraging the nutcases that watch TV out there that might be influenced by it to go and try to do it.
Exactly. And it just blows my mind that Kathy Griffin, if you do a financial investigation on her and understand how much, you know, how wealthy she is, and having her get up in front of the TV cameras and saying, you know, he broke me, and not financially broke her, but he broke me. And of course, playing the victim, all right? You play in those waters, Kathy. You play in those waters, expect blowback.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. No, I just think the whole thing with the head that she was holding, disgusting, absolutely beyond disgusting. And, of course, this new Julius Caesar play, they can say whatever they want trying to replay Julius Caesar in a modern setting, but there is no question that they are trying to stir up the psyche of somebody out there to attempt it. I just think it should
That's
be
right.
taken off the air entirely. No, not good.
We're in some, you know, we are on very shaky ground and in territory that we haven't seen, at least I haven't seen in my lifetime. I don't know, Stan, what you feel, you know, but.
Well, we had a bit of drama in the United States back in the Kennedy era, you know, but
right.
other than that, you know, most of the other administrations have had very little trouble compared to what we're seeing now. in the Trump administration. This is yes. not a good time to be dividing our nation against itself. We have China to worry about. We have Korea, North Korea to worry about. You know, we have Russia. And in the near future, we're probably going to have Iran to worry about and possibly Saudi Arabia, even though they think they're friends with it. We can't be divided here. In image 34, I've got a link to an article about General Mattis and giving a report on how Russia and China are so far ahead of us militarily. And I was reading the report, and doggone, things like our naval warfare above and below water level is kind of outdistanced by what the Chinese are doing, and I think the Russians are ahead of us in one of their submarine programs, at least, that we know about publicly. And of course, Mattis is saying, do not cut this out of the budget. We want, we need more defensive hardware. And you know, after 8 years, you know, of starvation diet during the Obama administration, the military hardware infrastructure just aged and got behind the rest of the world in a lot of areas. And a couple of areas I'm pretty sure we're ahead, but still, we need that in the budget, and I support what General Mattis is trying to get across to the Congress, that you've got to do this. You've got to do it yesterday. And look, even without the worrying about the military stuff, look at the strategic situations developing in Panama. You say Panama? Yeah, that's where the canal is. And China owns it, in essence, the canal, and is now making a diplomatic office in Panama, and Panama likewise back in China. They are making strong diplomatic ties with Panama now, which means that China can use the Panama Canal to bring in ships and unload them there with troops and weapons and, you know, either side of the canal they want to, for that matter, with the help of the Panamanians, which then leads to a Chinese forcing to be moved up overland toward us, you know, as part of an invasion strategy. And they already have their own port, China does, in the California. So things and ships could be brought in or be approaching that and launch something we couldn't stop. Anyway, I just hope to goodness that we've got cool heads and clever minds in our strategic planners in the military and in the administration as well that oversees that. To
Amen.
Get things done as quickly as we can to get up to defensive status. Otherwise, if Russia and China and one Middle Eastern country decide to invade us, they will do so, and they will overthrow the United States. They'll destroy it. And I hearken back to two things. Dmytro Dudeman prophecies about the Russians, Chinese invading, and to the Hopi that told us direct, Holly and I, that there would be Russia and China invading, plus the help of a Middle Eastern country all at the same time, coming in and destroying America and then leaving. They pollute the ground, I guess, with, you know, biowarfare and radiation or whatever they do, so bad that they don't want the country anymore. They'll leave and leave one swath of inhabitable territory, which is along the Rocky Mountains here on the Eastern Front. So, and all the way down into the Four Corners region. So the Hopi are going to move up there, up here where we are, when that happens, and a couple of other things that they mentioned. So that's why I think, you know, I put those links up there for people to read those articles and see this is really happening. And I didn't put this other one up because it's a bit early yet, but Putin is making a deal with the Saudis. You know, China is making a deal with the Saudis. They all want the oil, and so there are things that are forcing partnerships with potential enemy countries together because of the oil and the need for oil income by Saudi Arabia and the need for the oil itself by China and Russia. A lot of Russia's own oil is paraffin-based oil. It's very thick, and it takes a lot more expense to refine it. So it's more costly than the Middle East oil, which you can darn near just put in your tank and run with it. It's good stuff. Anyway, that's that on that one. North Korea, the little fat boy, he's now saying that he's going to, in fact, they may have tested, because this was just about 4 hours before we went to air, that they're going to test a missile for intercontinental distance. And the Chicago Tribune, I think it was, this article's from, the Chicago Tribune said, okay, well, IBM could reach Trump Tower, of course. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have thought anywhere in the country, but no. The Chicago Tribune has to say something against Trump, you know. Oh, gosh, it's just, these people can feed the ears. They really do.
It's amazing how they take glee in their own destruction, which ultimately it would be their own destruction, but they take glee in that. There's something to be said about the psychological mindset of these morons. I'm sorry, but no, I'm not sorry.
They are morons.
Yeah.
I was just reading an article on the Huffington Post that picked out a tweet or two from Tommy Lauren. It was about the there was an LGBTQ Q&A resist protest this last weekend, and the article is titled "Twitter Schools Tommy Lauren." What she said was, she was talking about the LGBTQ march, called it a crybaby fest, and says, "What are they resisting exactly? Can any of those groups celebrate their pride without complaining about the president?" And this just reminded me of what you guys were talking about, and everything that any organization is putting together nowadays, whether it's a resist march or a gay pride march, they do lump the president in there. You know, he is the villain. He's been painted as a bad guy, and he's responsible for every ill and bad thing that ever happens in this country. And they are. I mean, these people, they are bringing about their own destruction, and they enjoy it. And if we just look at the one issue of the Islamophobia complaints that the news media has, every time there's a terrorist attack, somebody calls it, you know, radical Islamic terror, the news media will you know, say that's basically hate speech. And the how they have aligned themselves, the Democratic Party, the media have aligned themselves with terrorism to the point, you know, they only stop short of actually promoting attacks, but they do everything else in their power to promote Islam and Muslims. It is, in my opinion, a form of insanity. Or either the people who are supporting it are insane, or they are being paid to do so, in my opinion. I don't know how anybody aside from people in the American public, I don't know how anybody could believe that what they're doing is some kind of benefit to humanity.
Yeah, and you know, it's almost like they want their 10 minutes of fame or something for anything, whether it's good or bad. You know, they just got to be out there and be on TV or something. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah,
and we're seeing more of this, more and more, whether it's a microcosm, people out of some emotion, whether it's jealousy, envy, pride, or this struggle for relevance, as you mentioned, you know, for their 15 minutes, or whatever their agenda might be. But it's sad to see this cannibalization that's taking place within our country. It really is. We need to come together, stick together, and we need to, and as Christians, I believe, we need to arm up, train up, pray up, and, you know, get ready to, you know, just be ready.
Yeah. You know, I sit sometimes out and have my coffee in the morning, and I think about all these things going on around the world, prophecy, whatever. And I thought, I play this little game. If I were the president, how would I solve such and such a problem? And today's was, if I were the president, how would I solve the Islamic extreme terrorist situation in this country? Would I have all members of Islam taken out of the country because they are, their religion is not really a religion, it's more like an organization that's dedicated to the overthrow of the entire planet and beheading of Christians and Jews? Would I say, get out of the country? Would that be fair to the families that are second, third generation here that are the peaceful, you know, pacifist parts of the Islamic faith? But if they follow the Quran or their children decide to do so and follow it to the letter, then Christians and Jews are people of the book, it calls it the Quran, and they are to be made subject to Sharia law and to Islam and to the Islamic community and to pay a tax. Because in essence, it's too late now because they are so deeply embedded in our society that terrorism can start with very small groups later on that decide that the extreme portions of the Quran are what they want to do and get rid of capitalism, particularly the kind that we have in this country, you know, the republic. So, you know, I came up with no answer. I shake my head and think I'll have another cup of coffee. That's too hard. But what a job
I understand.
To have
yeah,
at the well, moment.
Indeed. I have to say this, though. I think our problems began long before Obama got into office. I think they were really refined. The problems were refined under George Bush by not identifying Islam as the problem, in my view anyway. Islam being a political system disguised as a religion, the imposition of Sharia law, of course, which is antithetical to the Constitution, and also on the religious side, where Americans are convinced that Islam and Christians worship the same God. We don't. We have to, you know, so the lie has been repeated often enough, and we find ourselves in this position, and certainly Donald Trump in a very unenviable position. But
you know,
yeah.
The Illuminati, Doug, the Illuminati that we talk about is mainly the Christian-based nations, the Middle Eastern, you know, the Arab Islamic nations. Look at what they're doing now in the jihad. Is a way to reverse the Crusaders and the Arab Muslims' last conflict, you know, in the Crusades, to reverse it and to overthrow the Western Christian nations. Now, that's mainly, as I say, the Illuminati. I suspect that the Chinese and the Russians are both part of the Illuminist control, but, you know, in all of Europe. But these are basically Christian-type nations. Jewish-type nations, and not Islam, whatever it is, you know, the Islam form of government. You know, it's anyway, they're coming for us. They are opening up the crusade battles again, and this time they have infiltrated. They figured out how to do it, and I don't see a way to reverse it. Don't do it. No.
Yeah.
No. Now, okay. We all agree that we're kind of close to the end times, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. I was reading in Daniel again about the 70 weeks for Israel. Now, what basically those 70 weeks are about, as you know, is that God was going to refine and eventually forgive Israel for turning against him. And it happens in two stages. There's 69 weeks, which have already happened in history as far as what would happen to Israel and them being, you know, spread across the nations. But the last week of 7 years has yet to happen. And when it does happen, it will be restoring, at the end of it, restoring Israel into grace with God, and the temple will be there and the sacrifice will start again and they'll be in the good books again. The only reason Christians are in the good books is because the Jews were, you know, not carrying God's word as they should, and they were not living, you know, properly. They were mixing with the cultures of other nations and serving other gods and things. So what happened is the Christians were grafted in as that branch into the family with the Jewish nation, but we were carrying the torch for God and the truth throughout the world, while Israel was in the diaspora, you know, spread out across the world. Now then they're coming back to Israel in great numbers, and they've got a nation again. And very soon, the last week of, or the last 7 years of the 70 weeks of Daniel is going to start. So it doesn't matter whether you have a belief in a rapture, a pre-trib rapture, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture, whatever. What is really kind of important in this prophecy is that we are going to have a seven-year period of tribulation. When is it going to start? What is the sign of that? And I go back to that image of the Virgo, of, you know, of the woman in the skies, and that's in slide 41, where if you look at it, I've gone back today, back to 5, 6 BC, and searched through to find any alignment that matches the Revelation 12 description any closer than this, and there is none. it also showed me that there was a close to that kind of alignment that was interesting, but not enough to record at around 3.5 BC, which may have been the real birth date of Christ, somewhere back in there. I'm still trying to find out the star that the Magi saw and from the east and came over and gave presents to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. But anyway, looking at this, you'll see in this image where the moon is at her feet, just like it says in Revelation 12, she's clothed in the sun on her shoulder, and she's crowned with 12 stars. And you'll see Mercury, Mars, and Venus right in the Leo formation. They become part of it, and Leo has 9 stars, and these 3 planets look like stars, and that's 12. I think that the tribulation may well start in September. What happens at that time and after that time is going to be more prophetic interpretation by people as they get interested enough to dig into prophecy and things like that and see what's going on. It is interesting that there's a star, the Virgo star, for the formation of, or the constellation of Virgo. That star in Hebrew is called, in English it's Theta Virginis, but in Hebrew it's called Heza. And I've got that and the description of what that means in slide 21 on the show images page. And you'll see that the name of that star, like so many other stars and constellations in heaven, are tell the gospel in the stars and the names of the stars and the constellation from the beginning to the end. And we're coming to the end of the constellation ride that we've been on since, Garden of Eden. But that star, Heza, Zeta Virginis, means, behold, the returning light straight from God to man. So that's telling us about the return of Jesus more than the birth of Jesus. And I think that's important to note, that that's probably around the tribulation time. He's coming back sometime during that 7 years or at the end of it.
So kind of a bookmark in the sky or signs in the sky to be...
Just to tell people, look, God's word is correct. And if we analyze it deeper and deeper, we're going to see that this year we're going to begin that 7 years of tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel for Israel. And that tells us anyway that the world as it is not going to always be this way, that the true king will come back and put the planet together in harmony. And I look forward to that one way or another.
Well,
all right.
Well, Stan, you've taken us to the end of the program as usual. We just so appreciate your time, your gift of time. Glad to have you. Certainly glad Holly shares you with us, and we really appreciate everything you do, and your knowledge is immense. Brother, you take
care. Thank you guys for doing all the shows you do during the week. That's a real dedication.
We try. And
thank you, Stan.
Yeah. Well, until next week, God bless you, my friend. Take care.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that'll do it tomorrow. You got to tune in tomorrow, man. You just got to tune in tomorrow. We are having a round table tomorrow. It's going to be just a fantastic show. John put together a tremendous show for tomorrow.
Go to the show notes this week on Hagman Report. You can get the rundown on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Liz Croken, Craig Sawyer,
the Sawman,
and Honeybee, who was on last week, we'll be having a round table discussion in the third hour tomorrow, so you don't want to miss
that. It's really going to be good.
Until then, stay safe, good night, and God bless.